Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom on Radio Caribbean International. It is Thursday, April the 10th, 2025. And this is program number 1353 of the lunchroom. I'm your host, Calix George Jr. Now, in addition to radio 101.1 FM, you can also get us at our website, rcistlucia.com, and we are streaming live on Facebook. You just have to search for the official page of Radio Caribbean International. Please be sure to like and share that as well with your friends and family. Now, if you also want to call in to tell us what's on your plate later on, the number to do so is 452-3046. Again, 452-3046, as well as our WhatsApp number. That is 724-0008. Some birthday greetings for today going out to Mr. Ajaya Joseph. Happy, happy birthday to you, Ajaya, and we do hope that you're having a wonderful birthday celebration. And we also want to send out birthday greetings to Mr. Terrence Elliott. Happy, happy birthday to you. And we do hope that you're having a wonderful birthday as well. Now, some history for the day. We go back to the year 1516 when Venice, at that time there was a city on its own, a city-state, compelled Jews to live in a specific area, establishing the first known Jewish ghetto. In the year 1815, Mount Tambora in the Dutch East Indies experienced a cataclysmic eruption, one of the most powerful in history, killing around 71,000 people and causing a global volcanic winter. In the year 1858, Big Ben, a 13.76-ton bell, was recast at the Whitechapel Bell Foundry. 1972, on this day, the U.S., the USSR, and 70 other nations agreed to ban biological weapons at the Biological Weapons Convention. And on this day, in 1998, the Good Friday Agreement, or the Belfast Agreement for Northern Ireland, was signed by the British and Irish governments. We now head to our dish of the day. The Daily Dish is brought to you the kind compliments of our good friends at Tiles Plus.
One test for your home, I see. Bathroom, kitchen, pantry. Need test for your balcony. Come down to Tiles Plus, satisfaction guarantee. Tiles Plus, Tiles Plus, Tiles Plus. Big test with unbeatable cost. Customer service, A plus. Did all kind of tests. Come down to Tiles Plus. We also glad that's your vanity. Box, doors, you'll see. Come down, don't mind nobody. We got the best tiles on island. Trust me. We are located Land Street in Castries, Bosses, Hugh Grozy Lane, and Slack Street in Viewfort. Telephone number 453-7939. Tiles Plus.
Serving now, the Daily Dish.
Welcome back to our program for today at the lunchroom on Radio Caribbean International. Well, yesterday was seemingly Liberation Day from Liberation Day. And that was as a result of the Trump administration, President Donald Trump, backing down from what appeared to be the most extensive set of tariffs introduced by any country ever, and certainly by the United States of America. In one swoop, he introduced tariffs on over 180 countries. Some of them, some people debated, were only inhabited by penguins, and there were question marks as to what was the point of even placing tariffs on some Pacific islands of that nature. And of course, it caused a significant disruption in the global stock markets, from the United States, from New York, from Wall Street, all across to London and to Asia as well. And the announcement came somewhere, I think, around 1:16 yesterday afternoon, while we were, in fact, on air, that there was going to be a change in direction. And effectively, it would appear that Mr. Trump played his strongest card very early on and had to pull them back. with respect to what were these tariffs. Now, of course, we heard about them last week. They were unveiled on the Rose Garden lawn of the White House. We saw, these signboards sort of coming out and breaking down a whole long list of tariffs, and each country around the world being provided with a certain tariff, which was quote-unquote discounted by the Trump administration. And then lo and behold, to find out that, in fact, the methodology for, in fact, setting these supposedly reciprocal tariffs had absolutely nothing to do at all with the tariffs that other countries, in fact, had, right, in place. Now, you'd recall that Mr. Trump's argument was that countries have been unfairly treating the United States of America. And he even called out countries that have value-added tax systems, which happens to be, I think, at this point in time, the majority of countries around the world, which have, in fact, introduced value-added tax. And all that it is, really, is a consumption tax, an indirect tax, that is placed on goods and services and is generally applied across the board to all countries. So whether a product or service is coming in from the United States, or it's coming in from China, or it's coming in from the United Kingdom, whatever the case may be, a tax is applied or a tariff is applied to that product. But in fact, the reality is that all countries have a VAT, and generally speaking, VATs are not country discriminatory. They are applied to all products and services. So it was a little strange to hear this argument and to somehow find that value-added tax was being labeled as a as some sort of discriminatory tax or unfair tax. But clearly we've been seeing quite a lot of effort on the part of the Trump administration to create a narrative within the American public that there are countries out there that are somehow ill-treating the United States of America when it comes to the matter of trade. Now, that in and of itself is rather strange, that all of a sudden the United States is being ill-treated and they've been getting a hard time and they're not being fairly treated in terms of trade. We've been down this road to some degree, perhaps, in the case of St. Lucia and the Windward Islands and our what was originally our relationship with respect to the likes of the United Kingdom, and in the case of the French countries as well, their relationship with France. But of course, our relationship with the UK became different than the relationship between Martinique and Guadeloupe. And that, of course, was because they were, in fact, considered a part of France. We gained our independence back in the 1970s, Grenada a little later on. Antigua and Barbuda again, it's a little later on. Grenada was from since 1974. And most of these Windward Islands gained their independence in the 70s. And it meant then that we eventually had to join the WTO, which was formed much later on, and follow the rules-based system that was in place for trade and fairness. And we know the sad story of Windward Island bananas and what we had to go through, even though we had a minuscule proportion of the trade of bananas heading into the European Union. The market vastly dominated by the dollar banana producers, the likes of Chiquita and Dole, United Fruit, right, which had interests vast estates in Latin America, and they were able to, have very, very low prices in terms of bananas, which certainly was not something that our small islands here in the Caribbean were able to ever compete with because of the factors of production, the scale of production. But we had a very small share. And even with that little share, less than 1%, I think, of the total global production, there were pressures that were brought upon the United Kingdom and other countries which had any former colonies and which had some sort of preferential arrangements for those former colonies, now fledgling states, largely trying to get their way out of out of poverty and trying to find a pathway to development, and using agriculture as one of those means to which revenue could be gained, foreign exchange could be gained. And they, in fact, became targets. And, of course, as a result of that, there was had to be an abandonment, a change in the whole arrangement, and extensive years and years of negotiations and matters being arbitrated upon, and matters being brought forward to the World Trade Organization over in Geneva. And all of that was happening, right? And we saw the impacts. We saw the impacts. And, of course, we here in the Caribbean, in the Windward Islands, felt very unfairly treated, because at the end of the day, we were really just almost a fly on the wall in terms of the overall production of bananas. But, of course, as small island developing states, it was crucial for our ability to survive. And so that banana era from the 1960s and what we enjoyed in the, especially, in the boom years of the 1980s, when the exchange rates with the pound made it even more lucrative, pretty much all came to an end, to a close, as the industry began facing significant attrition by the 1990s. And so we have been, no doubt, a victim of globalization. And we know this situation about trade and what it can, in fact, do, right? Because we've experienced this significantly, and with a great deal of hardship as well, here in the Caribbean. So, excuse me. So when the most powerful country in the world is now calling foul over the matter of trade, which it in fact was highly influential in terms of the establishment of the system, establishment of the rules, ensuring that countries opened up to allow for trade, allow for products to be able to reach into these markets, is now at a point where it is certainly calling foul, is a rather interesting situation that we find ourselves in. And I think the whole world is now wondering, what is going to be next with respect to this entire process, because clearly it would appear that everybody has gotten burnt. Everybody has gone through this this whirlwind of a week in terms of hearing about the introduction of tariffs. We've been seeing it playing out over the past 3 months with respect to the likes of European Union, as well as Canada and Mexico, and then everybody around the world got a taste of this entire agenda at what is being somehow called as a reset. And the big question is, how is it that one country has the right to unilaterally come forward and say that they are just simply going to reset the system without dialogue, without any form of consultation, without any sense of getting a clearer sense. I mean, if the United States, for example, has been so aggrieved by the entire world, because clearly the actions that we were seeing were taken upon the entire world, then one would have thought that through the system that has been put in place, the World Trade Organization, there would be a system of redress. I mean, the United States has the most complex and sophisticated arrangements with respect to trade and the size and scale of their manpower when it comes to negotiations, and has in fact gone around the world and has entered into numerous trade agreements with countries around the world, and yet still even those countries seem to have been on the firing line. Countries that had very long-standing trade agreements and arrangements with the United States of America. So, yes, we saw what happened yesterday, and word coming that somehow there was a change of position, and somehow the world was going to be rewarded. The countries that did not take action, so to speak, were now going to be rewarded, quote unquote, for, I suppose, them staying put and playing dead. They should therefore find some level of happiness that and reward from the United States in this regard. And this was the interesting tweet. And yes, it came out as a tweet. Such a significant announcement that impacted the entire world just came out as a tweet, and not in terms of an individual going in front of a podium and addressing the world or addressing his country and whatnot. That's not how it was done. It was just a tweet, and it reads as follows: based on the lack of respect that China has shown to the world's markets, let's take a pause right there. China is being accused of showing a lack of respect to the world's markets. Sorry, let's remember what occurred. China was not the one last week, was it Tuesday, Wednesday, that went out and in fact declared imposition of tariffs on nearly every single country in the world. And which was clearly what cause for the world's markets to enter into a significant frenzy. They had nothing to do with China, right? This had everything to do with these tariffs, which were brought forward by Mr. Trump. But let's say his version of reality. Based on the lack of respect that China has shown to the world's markets, I am hereby raising the tariff charged to China by the United States of America to 125%, effectively immediately. At some point, hopefully in the near future, China will realize that the days of ripping off the USA and other countries is no longer sustainable or acceptable. Let's take a pause here as well. Because here, of course, we are seeing the accusation that China is ripping off the United States of America. And how? How exactly is China somehow managing to, quote-unquote, rip off the USA? What exactly is China engaging in that it is somehow, causing for an unfair deal or unfair situation? I mean, very interesting accusations, of course, but he's blaming it all on China, right? And he continues. Conversely, and based on the fact that more than 75 countries have called representatives of the United States, including the Departments of Commerce, Treasury, and the USTR to negotiate a solution to the subjects being discussed relative to trade, trade barriers, tariffs, currency manipulation, and non-monetary tariffs, and that these countries have not, at my strong suggestion, retaliated in any way, shape, or form against the United States, I have authorized a 90-day pause. Now let's go back again. Let's look at this. You are effectively admitting that you have struck countries around the world, right, with the decision to impose tariffs. Right? You are admitting that this is something that you unilaterally took action with. But you're saying that, well, we're so impressed that these countries have not taken on a reciprocal position with respect to you, even though you're arguing that somehow your tariffs were based on reciprocity, which they were not. You have now effectively said that, you know, we're happy that you have not taken up a reciprocal position, even though we claim that we were taking up a reciprocal position. But we, of course, just went ahead and struck at you and put forward tariffs. It's therefore something that needs to be rewarded. So effectively, the claim here, and it's a claim because the other reality is that there are countries which in fact did introduce or were planning on bringing forward reciprocal tariffs, including the European Union. And to suggest that countries were not taking certain actions is actually not quite the case, right? Perhaps what certainly we know is that China was a lot faster in the game in terms of, in fact, having a reciprocal response to the United States. But the version that we're hearing here is that these countries are therefore going to be rewarded. So this is what he says, right? So as a result of not taking any action, and as a result of wanting to somehow come to the table to respond, so in other words, the idea is, you know, well, I can hit you, I can strike you, but what I wanted was just for you to come so that you could then ask, well, why did you strike me? You know, instead of striking back. And that's the idea, effectively, that that is being suggested here by Mr. Trump's tweet. So he says, I have authorized a 90-day pause in, it's capitalized, the pause, and a substantially lowered reciprocal tariff during this period of 10%, also effective immediately. And it ends by saying, thank you for your attention on this matter. And so we're seeing that everybody is now facing a flat tariff, right? Which is that 10% across the board, which one can argue is perfectly fair, right? Because any country can impose tariffs if it so desires. But of course, those tariffs should not generally be discriminatory. They should be, in fact, across, you know, across the board. Anybody wanting to trade with that country comes in and is paying a certain amount. So there's nothing wrong with, of course, setting a tariff, right? Of provided that that tariff is not being is not discriminating against countries. Now, the caveat that is normally allowed is that if in fact a country is facing a higher tariff for a particular good or whatever it is, or for all goods from a from another country, then they do have the right generally to apply reciprocity, and a lot of those things are captured in the rules, trade rules that exist. But so in coming to this new position, right, 7 days later, one can say that there's a much greater degree of fairness in that regard, except of course with respect to that of China. So many of course have always speculated that China was certainly a major target of President Donald Trump. It's certainly something that he has taken on in his first term in office, introducing certain tariffs against China then. And then, of course, this time he has gone far out into the extreme. At the moment, 104% tariffs on China. Now, of course, look, it's not just about China, because at the end of it all, we're dealing with the two largest economies in the world having a trade war. And that can never be positive. That can never be something that is potentially going to end well on either side. And of course, we've heard the statements coming out of China, the People's Republic of China, that they are going to go to this to the bitter end. Now, of course, in the midst of all that is going on, we've also been hearing the narrative coming from the White House and the Trump administration that this is all planned, right? Never mind the statements that were coming out, that this was all part of a grand strategy, right, by the people in charge. They knew what they were doing. Now, there's some significant question marks if, in fact, this was all planned. Because what we've effectively saw over the week, many are now asking the question, was if this, in fact, was all planned, was this and could this effectively be seen to be manipulation of the markets, of stock trading, right? And this is, of course, a serious matter of concern, because we've even heard recordings of Mr. Trump laughing and with some of his individuals in his close circle, in a circle, talking about how this one made $900 million and this one made $2 billion, you know, all as a result of what was a significant tank of the markets. Things were dropping, stock prices were falling. And then, of course, in just one day after the announcement came, we saw a rise, a rush now to reinvest, a rush to buy, and a rush to, of course, get things back up towards the status quo, to what it was before. It didn't quite get to that point, but certainly a significant rush now to go forward to purchase. Now, of course, if you were able to buy when the prices were down in that last week, or you were able to buy when they got to the bottom, and then you've now realized that there's been a rush to now come back in, and the value shoots back up, you've, of course, made a lot of money. So there have been many, many questions being raised that whether, in fact, there were tip-offs and how this has actually gone down. Of course, there are accusations being made by some politicians that this may very well have been one of corruption being brought forward, and pretty openly perhaps too, by some in authority. So lots to think about as we continue to watch how it all unfolds. That's our dish of the day. When we come back after the weather news, we'll take in some calls.
This has been The Daily Dish.
One test for your home, I see. Bathroom, kitchen, pantry. Need test for your balcony. Come down to Test Plus, satisfaction guarantee. Test Plus, Test Plus, Test Plus. Big test with unbeatable cost. Customer service, A plus. Did all kind of tests. Come down to Test Plus. We also got glassware and vanity. Box, doors, you'll see.
Come down to my nobody, we got the best as an island. Trust me. We are located Land Street in Castries, Bossejou Grozy Lane, and Slack Street in Dufort. Telephone number 453-7939.
Island style. Oh, yeah. We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say. Yeah. We'll have to make the right choice. Island style. Whoa. We got the time that will make you happy. Island style. Oh yeah. We make your dream come alive in Island style.
We have tiles and tin sets, pieces and ground. Peace out the house out for the best price and the latest style. Take a little drive down to Island Style car.
We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say. Yeah. Quality, price, service, choice. It's all an Island Style.
Visit us at our showrooms in Belarosa, Rodney Bay, on the John Crompton Highway, Castries, and behind Ruby's Gas Station on the Library Beaufort Highway. Or call us on 450-452 or 453 Tile. Island Style, Tile and Bath. When you think tile, think Island Style.
This is Radio Caribbean International. It's now time for the weather news.
And of course, the 1.1 is now time for your weather report as of 12 noon today, presented by Island Style Telembat. The forecast for Solution Valley for the next 24 hours, winds will be blowing from the east, southeast near 21 miles per hour or 33 kilometers per hour. The weather fair to occasionally cloudy skies with a few brief showers. And there is an advisory near which reads small craft operators and sea bathers are advised to exercise caution due to brisk winds and above normal seas. The forecast for Los Angeles is fair to occasionally cloudy with a few showers. And the weather summary, the Atlantic high pressure system will continue to generate moderate to brisk easterly winds and above normal seas across the Eastern Caribbean region during the next 2 days. Moisture in the mid, that should be moisture in the mid to lower levels of the atmosphere over the region will produce a few showers over the Los Angeles during the next 24 hours. And this was the weather forecast as of 12 noon today, presented by Island Style Talent Bath.
This has been RCI's Weather News. For more information, call the Weather Hotline at 454-3452. RCI 101 number 1.
Island Star. We got the time to make you go. We got the time to make you say.
Pieces and ground. Everything you need is at the house out. For the best price and the latest style. Take a little drive down to Island Style car.
We got the time to make you go. Oh. We got the time to make you say. Quality, yeah. Price, service, choice. It's all an Island Style.
Visit us at our showrooms in Belarosa, Rodney Bay, on the John Crompton Highway, Castries, and behind Ruby's Gas Station on the Library Beaufort Highway. Or call us on 450-452 or 453 Tile. Island Style, Tile and Bath. When you think tile, think Island Style.
And welcome back to our program here at the Lunchroom on Radio Caribbean International. We've got about 18 minutes to go before the hour of 2 o'clock. And the number to call in is 4523046, 4523046. And you can also reach us via WhatsApp, 724-0008. Now, was it Tuesday? There was actually a, what is called a Town Hall Tuesday meeting of the St. Lucia Labour Party. And many things came out of it, of course. One of the statements, interestingly, that seemed to have gotten lots of scrutiny is the line, half a loaf is better, or half a loaf is better than none. And, of course, that's a very old proverb from, like, the, what, even the 1500s, or who knows, even further back than that. And the principle is pretty simple, that you're better off getting a little of something than nothing at all. And it was said within the context, I believe, of a young lady who was coming forward and, in fact, being thankful on the matter of support for early childhood centers. And you would recall sometime last year, the government had provided some support in the first instance directly to these preschools, if you like, or daycare centers in the amount of about $2,500. But then in addition to that, also provided a subsidy or support to pay part of the child care fee. Now, of course, countries around the world are looking to find ways in which they can support child care and support these initiatives that would hopefully encourage individuals to, in fact, find it more attractive to start a family. And childcare has been one of those areas that has been identified as being very critical for that reason. And, of course, we've heard promises in the past. One of them was the desire to achieve universal early childhood education. It is still not quite something that we have here. We still have a dependence on a lot of paid private providers across the country. Government has not yet taken on full payment for all of these individuals as yet. And the person was making the point, but at least she is thankful regarding the assistance that she got in terms of paying part of it. And there are different schools of thought regarding how those things should happen, because, you know, some people say that, you know, people tend to appreciate things or are more invested in something if they, in fact, are making a contribution, even if they are also getting assistance. So that concept of a half a loaf is better than none, it does, in fact, have some pretty good value in that regard. Certainly, though, we should not be talking about providing crumbs. And that's a whole other argument in terms of trickle-down economics and just hope that the crumbs will fall and somehow people will be able to make do with just that. But some very interesting comments coming out of that meeting, and the political leader and prime minister of St. Lucia, political leader of the SLP, gave an address in which he touched on some of matters within the context of healthcare. And that has certainly been a very topical issue being brought forward by the opposition, effectively claiming that healthcare is in a bad place. And, of course, I think we've got the clip of the Prime Minister providing his retort on the matter of healthcare, starting it off within the context of support for young people. Let's take a listen.
I want the young people of Soufré in particular, because you only talk about young people, young people, young people. This government has seen about young people from birth up to the time they become adults. I'll tell you how, and I'll tell you why. This government, under Moussa Diabaté's We've seen about the health of mothers when they are expecting babies. We've seen about mothers getting all the necessary tests when they are pregnant so they can have healthy babies. So we've seen about that from before the young person is born. We see about them. Moving forward, this government has assured and ensured that young mothers, when they go to the health centers, once they are registered, they get all their medical attention. Further, this government, and you talk about health, and they believe they can challenge us on health. And that is why anything they talk is mepui, malpale, magi, nonsense, papi show, stupidity, kwe non num, kwe moun no. Ça tout c'est le café à ce platform. We can tell you what. Talking about health, only last month, this government, under the help of Musa, we said, all young ladies can go to the hospital and get tests for cervical cancer free of charge. So who is it about young people? Who is it about health? Who is it about health? I wanted to ask them. And you know, they believe that they can challenge us and they can bad talk us and attack our children, attack our family. That's all they know. We have to challenge them on the facts. This government, talking about health, we want to talk about health because they believe they can challenge us on health. Let's talk about health. Let's talk about health. This government, we can put on record what we have done as far as universal health care is concerned. On the record, when we said that anybody over the age of 80, once they are registered, can get health care free, they papi show us. They laugh at us. But now, seniors, because you know, these people don't like people. They only like themselves. They don't like people. They want to get into government to see about themselves. So when we said that any person, once they are registered, over the age of 80, can get medical care, they laughed at us. They papi showed us. They put people in pampers. Now, the people of Soufré and the people of St. Lucia wants your grandmother because they have no love. Once your grandmother is over 80 and she registered, she can get services free in the health system of St. Lucia. Let's go further. Because they want to talk about health. Let's go further. We have improved conditions in most of the health centers and the wellness centers in St. Lucia. We just did it in Grosley. We just did it in Viewfort. In Grosley, as we speak, we are extending the polyclinic in Grosley so the people of Grosley can get health care and emergency care for 24 hours. Tell them, put that in their pipe and let's talk about health. Because it's health we want to talk about. Let's talk about health. Right now, as we speak, right now, we have begun the plans for the extension of the OKEU hospital as we speak. And before the year is over, we are going to begin work on the fifth finger of the OKEU hospital. Tell them, put that in the pipe. And that is what we are doing. That's not what we would have done. That's not what we should do. That's not what we would do. That is things that we are. Let's go. Talk about hell. You understand? Because they believe that they can come here and curse me, curse my family, curse, call Emma names, and we go run, but we are running. Let's talk about hell. Love Issues Health Center kept it for 4 years without doing anything. The Labour Party, Emma in the government, and my comrade now, we have opened a brand new Love Issues Health Center. Tell them, put it in their pipe and let's talk about hell. Because it's hell they want to talk about. Hell. Let's talk about hell. Let's talk about hell. Because, you know, they believe that they can come and bad talk you and attack you and attack us and attack our country and we will run away. Right now, I've said that we are going now to talk about what they believe they can talk about to make us look bad. Let's talk about hell. Let's talk about hell. We fell. They left the OKU hospital with millions of dollars of debt. Millions of dollars of debt. Millions. Last week, we paid $25 million of debt for the OKU hospital. Let's talk about hell. Because, comrades, our record is clear. We can say what we are doing for the people of St. Lucia. Anywhere, I have challenged them. Anything you want to talk about, we can talk about it because we've done better than you. We've done better than you, my sisters and my brothers. This country.
All right, there was that was the Prime Minister of St. Lucia speaking on a political platform on Tuesday, Town Hall Tuesday, down in the constituency of Soufré. And, of course, the matter of healthcare has certainly been a very topical one. Both parties, of course, over the years, and in particular debates over the issue of St. Jude Hospital. That has been a long-standing matter since, well, I would say even before the fire of September the 9th, 2009. But certainly since then, it has come to a point where the hospital had to be relocated in terms of its operations to the George Odlum National Stadium, where it still resides to this day. And, of course, the current administration pushing forward with the completion of the original St. Jude Hospital, their point of view being that, of course, it was the easiest and quickest thing to get going in terms of it, that section of the hospital being furthest advanced in terms of being completed. And so through the assistance of the Saudi fund, money being pumped into that for the completion of St. Jude Hospital. Certainly a critical matter, but of course health goes far beyond that of infrastructure. And the issue of the presence of manpower, of staffing at hospitals and health centers has also been a very topical one, especially in the light of what we've been hearing from the United States of America targeting the Cuban medical missions around the world. Of course, St. Lucia is one of those countries that depends quite a bit on Cuban professionals, Cuban nationals, as well as individuals who, in fact, also trained over in Cuba. So that matter, of course, is still one certainly that will we will certainly be hearing a lot more on. The matter of how to finance universal healthcare is still an outstanding one. And, of course, we heard the government coming forward and introducing a health and security levy to fund in part two major national imperatives, that of healthcare as well as crime prevention and security, and making the point that it is still, even with this introduction of that levy, is still far inadequate in terms of meeting the overall cost of operations of these health facilities. So certainly the entire system of healthcare is very costly, and it's one of those things you can certainly look to, or perhaps not look to, the United States of America, in that they've got a very, very advanced healthcare system, but at a very pricey undertaking for the average American. And most instances, they are depending on private insurance or insurance provided through employers to be able to support their healthcare system. In many other countries, the establishment of national health insurance systems seems to be one of the ways to go. But of course, that requires payment, and that requires premiums to be paid. We've heard lots of points being made, I think, by the opposition, and the promise of national health insurance, and a suggestion that everybody would be able to enjoy a minimum of $75,000 worth of coverage per year, although they have not stated specifically how that is going to be funded, what are the means and modes of which those will be funded. So certainly that is the major question that the country will at some point have to deal with. Would it require potentially making another contribution, possibly maybe through the National Insurance Corporation, towards health insurance? Is that one methodology that could be adopted? But as it is now, and of course you heard the Prime Minister mentioning the significant amount of debt that is accumulating with respect to the running and operating of the Owen King EU Medical medical complex, Millennium Heights Medical Complex, inclusive of the Owen King EU Hospital. And that is in part because we've got a larger facility, more modern facility, and it requires, more space to cool, more space to manage, and it certainly is, and of course with more staffing requirements, and so all of that requires additional cost. So certainly the desire to have a better healthcare system is one I think we can all appreciate, because at some point we all need to interact and to be able to seek out better healthier living as well. So it's a major issue that we will continue to have to hear and speak on as we progress as a country. Well, I think we've come to the end of our program for today, this Thursday, and we of course thank you for listening, and for those who sent in comments as well on the chat feed. And we're wishing everybody a very blessed Thursday. I'm your host, Calix George Jr., saying goodbye.